Mr. President. Mr. President, first of all, we want to thank you for the intensive work you conducted in the past months, which allowed us to consider the various proposals in an informal setting. As we are back into a formal meeting, we would like to provide you with our understanding of the situation of the CCE laws is currently in and a possible way forward. We are currently working against the background that the CCE laws has failed to deliver under its previous mandate. In relation to the many years of work, the situation last December created a serious credibility problem. We as high contracting parties participating in this meeting are in a position to redeem ourselves and provide the world and the public with proof that we can indeed deliver results and find common grounds. We also want to react to some parts of yesterday's discussion concerning the question if current international humanitarian law is sufficiently developed to address the emerging challenges of autonomy in weapons. We would answer this question with the very general assessment that in a rules-based international order, international law clearly must continue to evolve in order to uphold and strengthen protections in the face of evolving technology and military practice. The very existence of this CCE is already an acknowledgement that serious risks are involved in the development of autonomous weapon systems and that the legal framework that applies to them needs to be strengthened. We propose that we live up to this task and also to the preamble of the CCW, which reaffirms the need to continue the codification and progressive development of the rules of international law applicable in armed conflict. And this is a quotation. An important step in this regard have been the various working papers submitted this year. We consider them as a serious effort of many states to rekindle our discussions, and we particularly acknowledge that many states have evolved their positions, moving finally to action and capitalizing on years of discussions and considerations. Mr. President, during the intersessionals, a discussion had emerged if a legally binding instrument or non-binding measures would be the preferable outcome. Despite hearing arguments how non-binding measures can further a protocol or be a vehicle for it, we still have a strong preference for working directly towards a legally binding protocol of this convention. To be clear, Austria very much welcomes national restrictions and guidelines on the use of autonomy and weapon systems, which all contribute to addressing the legal, ethical, and security challenges. Yet, in order to fully cover the gravity of the developments in new technology, we need an international common standard. But this international standard can only be created through legally binding norms. Austria's clear position is that only such an instrument can address the challenges and risks posed by autonomous weapon systems. As we are currently facing war in Europe, we once again see the need for clear rules and regulations which are imperative for a rules-based international order. Voluntary measures and code of conduct are welcomed additional measures but will do little to prevent an escalatory and extremely dangerous arms race against humanity and human dignity. We also see the risk of a fragmentation of national policies, even more so as many of the challenges are still unknown and states will pursue different policies to address them. Such a fragmentation caused by the lack of a clear international benchmark is also not in line with the multilateral approach to pursue disarmament on a global international level. It would further put into question the usefulness of the CCW as an instrument. We heard several times that measures and regulations adopted under the CCW should not impede technological development, but in general, technological advancements are hampered by a lack of legal clarity and the insecurity of companies and scientists when faced with fragmented legal systems. We should not ignore voices from the tech sector which make it very obvious that unclear rules will deter talent from engaging with projects in this field. Regulating autonomous weapon systems is about putting limits to the application of technology, not about prohibiting technologies. But also the military utility is limited, as operators and commanders faced with unregulated weapons, which in many cases they will not be able to fully understand, will hesitate to use them or their autonomous capabilities. Mr. President, having said all this, we want to thank all delegations which have submitted proposals and underline that we very much appreciate the current dynamic within the CCE, a viewpoint that was expressed in the statements by the European Union delivered yesterday. Austria has been part of a group of 23 states that have submitted a paper that outlines several elements of future work. This proposal highlights that weapon systems that cannot be used in accordance with international humanitarian law must not be developed, deployed or used and are de facto already prohibited. It further recognizes that autonomous weapon systems that would select and engage targets without any human control would not only be unlawful, they would also be questionable from an ethical point of view. And I'm sorry, I have to charge my notebook. questionable from an ethical point of view, particularly with regard to human dignity. This proposal also emphasizes that human beings must make the decisions with regard to the use of force, exert control over weapon systems that they use, and remain accountable for decisions over the use of force in order to ensure compliance with international law, in particular, international humanitarian law. Apart from the joint submission, it is our strong national position that lethal autonomous weapon systems must remain under meaningful human control. This premise is based on legal considerations under existing IHL, such as several articles of Additional Protocol 1 to the Geneva Convention. But at the same time, and this is very important to stress, is based on ethical considerations and human dignity. At the current situation, we see two overarching trends within the GGE. First, a growing majority of states in this room who are in favor of a legally binding instrument. Just in this meeting, we could add several European states to this group. Second, a wide range of commonalities between the proposals of an even bigger number of states. It has been noted several times that the dual track or two-tree approach has gathered considerable momentum and can be found in nearly all of the documents submitted to this group, including the G23 signpost paper. We agree with this assessment and consider this a feasible way forward, and also welcome its inclusion of this, also welcome the inclusion of this concept in your report. We also appreciate the proposal of the US and five other states. We recognize that their document captures important elements of our previous work, and more importantly, includes positions on the application of IHL in this field which even go beyond. As the US themselves have outlined, while in theory presents the proposal for a code of conduct, it also has various elements that are in convergence with other papers and supportive and are supportive of a two-tier approach. The recent proposal by a group of 13 states raised our interest as it further elaborates the concept of meaningful human control and has taken upon it the difficult task to set out the protocol to the CCW. We are still analyzing this document carefully, but in general it complies with our vision for a regulation of laws in the CCW. We also recall a previous proposal for a legally binding instrument by Chile, Mexico and Brazil from 2021 and welcome that it was represented yesterday. We want to thank China for its contribution. We welcome that the proposal also follows a dual approach. While we would have different views on the way unacceptable weapons are presented, we see potential in their definition on what is acceptable. Regarding the mandate, we would be in favor of a more ambitious mandate that would reflect the increased common understandings that have emerged and allow for debates that will be structured in line with the dual or two-tier approach. Mr. President, while our statement started out on a note of urgency and need for focus, we would like to end with once again underline the many commonalities in the proposals on the table and the visible progress the GGE has seen in the recent months. Obviously, many colleagues here in this room have invested time and effort to further their positions in order to finally achieve substantive results. Our main task this week is to put these common understandings into words. Thank you, Mr. Chair.